Hello and welcome in for this Esports Life, the bonus episode. It's episode 26 was the last one. Last week was Sweeks, and this one's an in-betweener. It's here with me on Thursday all alone. And I had a couple comments that said they missed the individual podcast, so I wanted to pepper them in. The podcast with Sweeks will continue to be a regular thing. Sweeks is a guy who I have fun talking to. I think it's fun to listen to. More of a topical conversation, but I think that keeps things fresh. It's very easy for me to do, and it's someone else that I can have on the podcast to kind of keep me accountable week to week, where I'm kind of a fly by the seat of my pants kind of guy, and it's hard to for me to, you know, schedule things to do. I kind of run off of, do I feel like doing it now or do I feel like not doing it now? And then furthermore, I've got the events to think about, so podcasting in advance becomes a bit more kind of not stressful, but more difficult. And Sweeks kind of solves all those problems. Really like having him on. It's also a fresh perspective. And it's not me just yelling into the abyss, which can sometimes create like a self-echo chamber. You know, I have somebody that if I'm talking, I know that somebody else is listening immediately and they can call me out on stuff. So I like all of that. And I hope it's fresh for you guys too. There's nothing more that I want right now than for the podcast to do well. It's something I really enjoy doing, something I want to do more of. And for those of you who are new, I guess, I mean, the podcast is, it was originally, you know, it's This Esports Life, and it was inspired by This American Life, which is a podcast that is, that does human interest pieces on people in different countries so you can get a more of a perspective on other people's lives and stories. And once again, solves the problem of being in the echo chamber, you know, and being living a life of first world problems, where, you know, your cell phone's on 10% and that's the end of the world, where other people are living much harder lives. And it's really cool to have a podcast like This American Life. I think it keeps at least me a bit more humble and is nice. And This Esports Life is similar in the sense that I wanted to bring my life back down to earth a bit. And not just be the guy who you see tweets from or who plays video games for fun, but somebody who is constantly trying to introspect and improve, and all while being on this esports journey with an esports career and different forays into mediums that maybe other people might have interest in. And then with Sweeks is including another person who has not as much experience in esports, but has played Counter-Strike as long as I have. And he also has a business background and a general kind of interest in the business side of things. So that's kind of an interesting dichotomy of perspectives to put together and compare and contrast. And then that's what This Esports Life is. But we end up talking about esports and business and stuff like that about 20% of the time. It feels like we're kind of going off on tangents or just making each other laugh, or talking about, you know, funny anecdotal stories, and basically just trying to be entertaining. And that's kind of been my MO as of recently. So how do I become more entertaining since I'm in entertainment? It's not me trying to shy away from who I naturally am. I think who I naturally am is somebody who likes to make my friends laugh, but I can very easily fall into kind of a low energy, critical, analytical, and kind of, again, introspective personality that's not quite as fun. And I think I synergize well with certain people, and that's why, you know, I appear to be so high energy when I'm talking with Sweeks. And I can do that when I'm by myself too, for sure. But it's been a process of improving, and it's also been a process of identifying what it is that makes me tick, and what are my strengths and weaknesses, and what do I want to try to include in my life or change about my lifestyle to become more conducive with my goals. And my goals are to become a great entertainer, to become a great commentator. And I'm not on the analyst desk. I'm in a live broadcast. It's high energy. And while I am doing analysis, I am also kind of trying to be as excited as possible and all those things mean that I need to be that outside of casting as well. And that's why I've been talking so much recently about running and exercise and, you know, I don't know, cooking more, I guess, and changing habits in my real life, so that I can get more towards those goals. Right now, my life is focused around picking what I want, prioritizing what I think is most important, and then aligning everything else with that. And that is my current kind of theory for how I can live my best life possible. And I don't know if that'll change in the future, but I don't think there's any point in not trying something because you're not sure if it'll change in the future. I feel like the other kind of overarching philosophy that I've had is that if you have an inkling, a thought, suspicion, or fear, you should always investigate it. You should never just sweep it under the rug. You should try to think about it very, very seriously and openly and critically, and then figure out what you want to do to change that or retain it, enhance it, emphasize it, whatever it is, to make sure you're living the best life possible. So, yeah, for me, doing a weekly podcast, getting on a better schedule, running more consistently, I think all of these things kind of help me sift through a lot of my thoughts and feelings. Running is cathartic for me. It's meditative almost, and it also gives me more energy. And so I try to do that a few times a week. And then doing a podcast, and I guess especially a solo one like this, is a public journal of sorts. And I'm probably blessed to be in a position where I can make a public journal and know that people may listen. But that's kind of what this is for me. I get to sift through my thoughts. I mean, a lot of the times I feel like people listen to the podcast, and when you listen to other people's podcast, it sounds like something they've thought about for a long time. But sometimes you're learning as you talk, and I think that's what's really cool about it. But today I want to talk about going to the minors, since never got to talk about that, and I haven't been done solo podcast since before I left. I wanted to talk about the future of this year in terms of me casting and all the things I've been thinking about when it pertains to my career. And then I want to talk about climbing, because that's indoor bouldering is something I've been doing a lot recently, and I feel like it's had a greatly positive impact on my life, my mental health, mental health in a very like fun way. Like I've actually just relished the opportunity to be able to climb, and I didn't think that that would happen. And I spent a lot of time thinking about climbing and watching climbing videos, and again, changing my lifestyle to be conducive with like having a good climb, which is kind of interesting and new for me. And then I guess we could talk more about the philosophy of what I feel like is my what are my personal thoughts on how to live the best life, being self-reflective and crossing that threshold of effort every moment that you like remind yourself you need to. Like when you're running, I had some interesting thoughts about running. And I also wanted to talk about how my mom is getting older, and she's in good health. Nobody has to worry about that. She's doing great. But simply more so that, like, you know, I don't want to take that for granted, whether it's her health or my health or my friends' health or your guys' health. So like whenever I hear about people in bad condition, and whenever you're sick, you know, I think it's always good to remember what it feels like to not be sick. So I want to take preventative measures and be ahead of things so that I can tell my future self will tell me thank you for the things that I did. That's kind of where I'm at right now. And then finally, we're making a single player game review. Nathan and I are making a single player game review. And I want to talk about why I'm doing it and the thought about, being a critic/analyst as a CS personality and bringing that over into other mediums like this single player game review, which is totally unexplored territory for me. So going to the minors is the first thing I want to talk about. A lot of people's questions were, why didn't we cast a major? That is, why didn't Connor and I cast a major? And for a lot of people, they were wondering, why didn't Harry and Hugo go on to cast a major as well? Because you noticed, James and DDK were not included in the major talent lineup list. And to be totally transparent, I have no idea exactly why. There was no like back talk in the green room that we heard about that was like, oh, this is why they didn't get included. And I don't have any extra info on that. I would only assume it's because it's like a face it ESL thing. You know, if it's ESL, this is a chance for them to be on top. And so, you know, not including Dan and James means they're kind of being, you know, getting an edge over the competition, which is face it, which I don't see that as like insidious. I think the only issue is that, like, I know for Dan, for example, he feels as though he is just a commentator who works for face it. Whenever, you know, whenever you see face it, it's kind of become the face of it, but that doesn't mean that he's, you know, he's technically like a face it employee. He might be someone on a contract, but he's happy to work at other events. He's ultimately, I think he ultimately identifies as a commentator. And I think he feels like maybe he's got caught in the crossfire of this. And I guess the same could go for James. I don't really know what happened to the face it major. I wasn't there. Wasn't included in that either. So again, no other insights. But I guess that's the only part that sucks. You know, Dan and James, great, obviously great commentators. And while some may or may like not like their casting or them or whatever, they've been a part of so many majors. It was strange to not have their voice at this major as well. But I think it should be understood from all perspectives why something like this can happen from a business perspective. And again, I don't see that as insidious. I mean, if you ran your own business and let's say you're ESL, I mean, you've gone through years of getting flack about different things. This is like a bit of like ammo to, you know, I guess to get an advantage. And if you don't take it, I guess you might consider yourself stupid for doing so. And that's just the landscape of things, right? I guess that's just kind of how it goes sometimes. I don't really have any more thoughts about that. But as to why we didn't cast the major, I think in the lead up to the minors, it felt like we were really establishing ourselves as a duo. You know, we casted Blast Istanbul Finals. So me and Connor, me and Scrawny, and we casted, you know, Blast Copenhagen, we casted Epicenter, we casted a couple of the DreamHack Opens that actually went really well. I think one of our best casts of the whole winter season was at DreamHack Winter. And so there was some hype around us and, you know, the duo was established and we were going and doing all these events and that was great. But when the minors came around, I think things went particularly well. I think we had like four or five kind of appreciation threads. Thanks for everyone who put up appreciation threads. I don't really read them. I might like look at them maybe, but I always try to be like very disciplined about critiquing myself and not relying on positive or negative feedback from anyone else. And that's just my personal way of looking at things. And I'm not looking down at anyone who does you know look at those threads or whatever. But I still appreciate that they're there. But the minors went really well for us and they went really well for Harry and Hugo as well. And we are all four of us are really good friends, I'd say. And we hang out after the games are over. We drink later. You know, we chill all night. We talk in the green room. Like, you know, so it was cool that we got to hang out and do everything between the four of us. And at some point in the minors, we're like, huh, you know, if there was a spot in the major, that's kind of an interesting thought because before the minors happened, we didn't have any expectation of being included in the major. That seemed like, you know, that seemed like a work in progress. Maybe we will get to the point of stature that we can be considered for a major in the next half a year. But as the minors started to roll on, it was like, damn, we're really, really close to the major and we're just like doing really well. And it seems like the community is very happy about our casting. Is there a chance? Like, is there kind of the small sliver of a chance, a hope that we might actually get included? And so that was sort of in the back of our minds, but I think for the viewers, as the minors are going on, they are thinking, oh, these guys are great. They might just definitely get included in the major. And that wasn't our thought. We had no expectation of actually getting included until the very kind of last moments, I guess. But the major obviously went extremely well. It was so good to have Vince. I think he was probably the standout caster of the event. He absolutely relished the opportunity, looked fantastic, sounded great. Had great synergy with Moses and Matt and Henry getting, I think it's their second major final, you know, long time coming, kind of crazy. great that they did. And they absolutely destroyed it. I thought some of the best casting I've heard in the last like 3 years was from Matt and Henry as they casted the Ents versus Na'Vi game in the semifinal. That game brought me back to like 2015. It made me just like remember what it was like to watch CS and how fresh it was as a game back at that time. I think the reseeding and the best of threes were such a good idea. The double stream format was great. The numbers for the major were great. They were comparable to all of our other best majors of all time. They weren't it didn't necessarily break any records, but that's okay. You know, the final wasn't great. And the storyline was fantastic. I think it would have been perfect if it got cut short at the semis, just from the outside perspective, just so that you could have kind of the best final possible. But the best final possible would have needed to be the quarter finalist, Liquid anyway. Would assume that Na'Vi would just get trashed in the finals. Whatever. The end storyline continuing was really cool. And that's kind of it about the miners. Now, that was 2 weeks of work. It was actually a lot of money, which is nice. And since then, I've gone to LA. I went to LA last week. Talked about that in the last episode. Wanted to just hang out with my friends. And the experience was awesome. I never actually just bought a ticket the day before I wanted to leave and then gone on a trip by myself. You know, I feel like that's something that not a lot of people can say they can do. And so I thought to myself, you know, I could stay home, play Apex all weekend and just have a lax weekend and know that I'm going to be traveling soon and then I'll have to be on the road again. Or I could buy this plane ticket last minute. Yeah, spend a few $100s that I maybe don't need to spend, but go back and see a group of friends that I haven't seen in a while and know that they want to see me too and that they're actually really good friends. And that I have so many options for things to do and people to see. And I wouldn't have to rely on just seeing like one person hanging out with them the whole time or whatever it is. And I was like, not a lot of people can do that. And I've never had another point in my life where I can do that. So I decided to be spontaneous. I'm so glad I went. It was great seeing like everybody, Taylor, Zorin, Luke, got to see Bryce. Wanted to hang out with Semler, but he was a bit busy on the weekend. Got to go climbing, hang out, watch movies, go have dinner, meet some new people. And yeah, it was just perfect. Honestly, it was perfect. Highly recommend anyone does that if you can get the chance, whether it's a solo trip somewhere to go see some friends, you save some money, just go ahead and do it. And there's a part of me as well that wanted to just get used to flying again, just because I had not for like a month or so. And I've got this long flight to Brazil coming up where I'm going to cast Sao Paulo for a blast. And I wanted to get used to just like going on a trip instead of just sitting in my room for like a month and a half and then getting back on a plane. So I feel like that broke up my time off nicely. And I think part of me getting better as a commentator is also me getting better socially. Whether it's just, I don't know, streaming, I don't feel like actually helps me so much when it comes to the social aspect. Like if I'm commentating, I'm sitting beside Connor, we're talking to each other. But streaming, if I'm hanging out with people in TeamSpeak, it's a bit different. But if I'm talking to chat, I don't get that same, experience, I would say. I think it needs to be in-person stuff. So it's whenever I'm hanging out with my friends, I always try to make sure that like kind of the entire time I'm operating at a certain level of energy, which that sounds stressful to think about, but I honestly feel like now that I do that, I get more enjoyment out of the interactions. And that sounds so robotic. I'm like, so I'm just sitting here in my backyard with my sweet baby Rays, smoking some meats, right? No, it's not going on like that in my mind. That's just because I'm so analytical. I can like repackage that now, think about it and then explain it. But in general, like I'm trying to answer the problem of kind of having less energy. I feel like that is one of my demons in life, and it's something that I'm definitely overcoming really well, I want to say. And I'll get to that more with the running and everything else. But just increasing my energy and then taking that into my conversation so that I can increase my ability to think about new conversations and how to be better at conversations and to be more interesting. And I'm always now, I've made it a rule to, if I think about something or if I read something, I will go immediately look it up. And if I hear a word I don't know, I'll go look it up immediately. And absolutely every single time do that. And that's not something I've done my whole life. I found that I did do that when I was younger. But as soon as kind of I was fully engulfed in this internet lifestyle, that I was desensitized to the amount of information coming in. And so even though I was exposed to all these interesting and unique and cool topics and different TV shows to watch and different books to read and different words to learn, I wasn't actually jumping on every opportunity to learn about them. I was like, damn, that's amazing. Damn, that's amazing. Damn, that's amazing. You scroll through the top of Reddit and you just see so many cool things and you don't go into in depth into each of them. And it was like, you know, what is the point of actually knowing about all these amazing things without taking some time and dedicating some time to like learning about it or learning that new word or just investigating a bit further? So now if I ever do, I'm making sure that like, let's try to spend that time a little bit more efficiently. And I want to see that come across in my personality as well. So it's been a process of creating more personality for myself, becoming more interesting and becoming this entertainment personality that I want to be. And the way I look at it is that I probably don't want to be in entertainment for my whole life, but because it's something I choose to do now, I want to do it the best. And so that's what I'm telling myself. And that's what I'm always preaching. If you're going to spend time doing something, you might as well do it the best. I feel like, you know, if you like, you can waste time, but time goes at the exact same speed with or without you, no matter what. And so the way that I'm looking at how I spend my time is I might as well put in a certain level of effort, whether it's talking to people or looking at stuff online, researching things, thinking about my physical, my health or my athleticism or whatever it is. And overall, I have to say, I'm very happy that I realized that, because I'm becoming, I think, the best version of myself that I've ever been. I feel like I'm in really, really good shape. I'd say my energy levels are probably 70% of the way, or 70% better than they were a couple of years ago. And I think I'm getting close to a really, really nice, you know, always on top of my game level. I'm probably a little bit happier. I've never been really unhappy, but I feel like I'm taking the opportunities that I have in front of me, which are, you know, I have a nice apartment. I have the job I want. I have my mom is healthy right now. My friends are in good shape. My relationships are fine. And I want to make sure that I don't get too complacent and stay on top of things and be the best that I can be, and use the fact that I don't have to, you know, I don't have to in my daily life kind of persevere through all these trials and tribulations just to have a little bit of time to work on myself. Since I have so much free time, I am fortunate enough to work as much as I possibly can on all of these different things. And so now I'm grateful. I'm happy with myself that I am taking those things into account, and I'm spending my time a bit more wisely every day. Now, that's not to say that I couldn't be spending my time better, or that I have lazy moments. Sometimes I sit around and watch videos or stay up a little bit too late for no reason. And no, that's okay. The way I see it is that I always try to say a year from now. You know, like a year from now, it will be so much better. I don't know how much better, but if I stick to a few things, like for example, if I say, okay, I know that if every time I learn about something new, I'm going to Google it. If I stay in that habit and I throughout the entire year, I'm going to be exposed to the same amount of cool things that I do every day. But now I'm actually going to retain some of that information because I'm going to dedicate more time to learning about it. And in a year from now, I'm going to learn so much more, right? I'm going to be a much smarter, I'm going to be an information wealthy person. I'm going to have a lot more to think and talk about intelligently. And that's it. In a year from now, that's going to happen because I'm putting on this small habit. So, you know, whether it comes to now, one of my rules is if I'm cooking, I wash the dishes as I go. I think, you know, I don't believe in horoscopes, but I think it is kind of a funny coincidence that if you wash your dishes as soon as they're dirty or as soon as you're done with the food, they're much easier to clean than they are the next day. I feel like that's not really a coincidence. I could give you kind of a scientific explanation as to why that happens in life, or if that's a good analogy for like a good way to be in life. But it seems like if you're just kind of, you stay on top of things a little bit more, and those habits carry into other parts of your life, that you end up creating these layers of sediment of good habits, that each one of those habits is not hard to add into your routine. But when it's all said and done, you'll be a so much of a better person, and all it took was a little bit of work every day. So I don't try to be like mean or nice to myself. I just try to add in small habits that I think will add up over time, and then I always just assume that in a year from now I'll be so much better. And that's how I look at every year in general, just kind of piling them on, adding layers of sediment, and building up that really solid foundation that makes, someone better than they should have been initially. I think one thing that's interesting, to jump around a bit with running, that I've been thinking about, is that I feel like since we all are starting to lead more sedentary lifestyles, where we spend a lot more time sitting down and working at a computer, or just playing games a lot, or if we have free time, or if you have a few months off of school, or whatever the case may be, you kind of either distract yourself with games, or you get to think about things, or watch a show and just kind of melt in your chair and relax. And I think the only problem with that is that you, if you're left alone with your mind too long, you can start to think about bad things. And I think that one thing that's interesting about running is, well, there's always this quote about Voltaire that I try to remember, where he basically just talked about work and how it cures people of these things like thinking too much, vices, and something else. And it was just basically saying that if you work, it's actually really good for your mind. And just because you might have the opportunity to not work, that doesn't actually mean you're going to be happier. And he said that, working is just an integral part to our life, and that it's important to be able to say, all right, I spent a hard day doing something I wasn't exactly happy doing at the time, but now I get to earn my sleep. I get to say that I was productive that day. And how this ties into running is, well, since I feel like I'm never under that much stress because I'm like li I have my like a job that I really like, and again, all of everything in my life is kind of as good as it can be, I want to say. If I sit around and just think too much, and since I have more time to sit around and think too much for no reason, I can be unhappy even though I have a great life. And I think running cures that kind of this like self-contrived ailment of having too much time to think, by forcing yourself into being uncomfortable for a certain amount of time every day. And I feel like it has that same positive element that work would have on a person's mind, while also giving you the benefits that cardio gives you, like a strong and healthy heart, robust lungs, greater blood flow from your heart stuff. And then you also get the mental benefits of, at minute 15, saying, man, I really want to be out of this run, but saying I'm going to commit to this 30-minute run today. And then by minute 25, thinking, fuck, I hate this so much, but then still completing that run, and then being able to finish and feel exhausted and worn out and used up. And then think about how you at minute 15 said you don't even see how you can finish this run, and by minute 25 you wanted nothing more than quit, but you knew you were going to still complete it. And then by minute 30, being able to finish and say you did it, and you push yourself out of your comfort zone, and you cross that threshold of effort that can make you feel good about what you just did. And I think it's kind of a nice simulated way to create work in your life. And it also comes with a lot of other benefits. I think being able to push your body past the point of exhaustion, and do it on your own will completely, will bleed directly into other things in your life. Being able to focus longer, being able to tell yourself you can do something when you don't think you can, it makes you understand, help you un have a better relationship with your body and understand what your body is capable of. Because I think your body is always giving you these signals that, okay, that's enough, that's good, I've done enough. But what you'll learn is that the body is actually really amazing and it can do so much more, but you'll never find that out unless you push yourself past the point that you're normally used to. And the more sedentary of a lifestyle you live, the less your body is used to going outside of those boundaries, and the less it might even become familiar with itself about how much it can handle. And so when it comes to maybe sitting down to write an essay for school, or staying on top of your game in terms of energy for work, or presenting your best self in an interview, or talking to your friends, I think that level of focus that you can bring through running is something really beautiful. And it also comes with these health benefits. And it might be one or the other. You might want one and get the other, but you get both from running. And I think that's awesome. It never hurts to be able to run a certain distance. You know, I think it's something that just as a human quality, something special that we have that other animals in the world don't even really, aren't even really as good at in some regards. Like a lot of animals can run short distances, but I think a huge reason that we're so good at running is because we are basically hairless, and so we can sweat a lot. And so like long distance running is something that's really, it's probably a reason why we exist as like a successful species today, because I think back in the day when we were hunting, and this is something I kind of heard about, that we're kind of pack hunters, and when we hunted, we had to kind of chase down animals. And back before we were good at making weapons, one of the strats we used was to try to basically outrun an animal until past the point that it was exhausted and be able to take it down from there. And that was a quality that only kind of humans had, this ability to kind of run long distances. And I think just maybe that genetically that might follow into us wanting that more. And I don't know where a runner's high comes from, and I know some people can experience it, but there is something interesting that happens when you run past the point of exhaustion, where your vision kind of goes funny. It feels like you put on kaleidoscope goggles and you look at the world completely differently. Shapes appear more vivid and vibrant, and looking out at the world just feels like you're in this sedative state of somewhat euphoria, and that's something very special to running as well, and just I guess cardio in general. But for all those reasons and more, I preach the good word of running, and I think it's awesome and one of the best things that I've learned to incorporate into my life in this past year. And I guess another habit that I have that's also interesting is bouldering. Bouldering is something that I've started to do a lot recently. I learned about it when I was in LA climbing. It's very popular in Texas and in LA, but there's bouldering kind of all over the world. I've gone about, I want to say like 30 times, and I can actually see my fingers getting bigger and stronger. I noticed for the first time today, actually. I've been, my forearms are sore every time, so I know that there's strength there. And bouldering is basically indoor climbing without ropes. And there is top rope at a lot of these gyms and lead climbing. But I personally like bouldering because it's you, it's a wall, and it's a bunch of holds on the walls. And basically the only thing you need is shoes. And you technically don't even need those, but you probably want them. I love how simple bouldering is. And I've loved getting better at bouldering. And I love what it's doing to my mind as of recently. To compare it with running, bouldering is a fun exercise. It's something that has personal goals. It's something that there's a lot of content around. It's not easy to be good at. It's something that takes a long time to be good at, even physically. It's something that has that kind of, it's very human in a lot of senses, and that's something I really appreciate too. It's something primal almost. You know, we've been climbing since the beginning of time. We've been running since the beginning of time. I just like the thought of that. It's something that you feel accomplished when you figure out a boulder, or you're strong enough to get to the top of a boulder. And then because of that, because it's so enjoyable, and even though it's so difficult, it's so fun to learn. It's made me care so even more about my health than even when I would, you know, run just on the thought of trying to be more disciplined. Now I'm like, oh, I'm bouldering tomorrow. Okay, I'm eating a bowl of oatmeal the night before. I'm not going to go drink. I'm going to get my 8 hours sleep. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to stretch. I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to eat my chia pudding or another bowl of oatmeal. And then I'm going to have a coffee. And then I'll meet up with my friend. I'm going to go bouldering. I'm going to have a great climb. I know that there's certain boulders that I want to be able to beat today. There's other ones that I'm going to try to get to. You can go V0, V1, V2, V3, V4. Or if you're in a, you know, French climbing system, you're going to have like your whatever 6A, 6A plus or higher. And like, you're trying to meet some kind of goal. And for all those reasons, I'm like enjoying it like crazy. And it's made me think more about, does exercise need to be a kind of a stressful thing that you feel like you owe to yourself? Or can it also be a fun thing that can have residual impact on the rest of your life and decisions and diet and lifestyle, and also just be really fun kind of the entire time? I mean, you still get exhausted, your hands still hurt, you can still hurt yourself and cut yourself, but none of that stuff sucks compared to how fun it is to boulder. And in terms of strength training, I wasn't doing any. I was running and then not doing any strength training, and now I'm doing strength training that's making my hands stronger, which is so appealing to me because it feels like a practical strength that you don't even get from most of your exercises in the gym. And then I'm coupling that with running, which is great cardio. That's also getting my blood pumping, which is good for climbing, and then also working out kind of the bottom half of my body with my calves. And then I'm also stretching now because that's an important part of climbing. And it feels like it's tying everything together, where I'm getting strength training, I'm getting cardio training, I'm wanting to I'm wanting to have dietary goals, even though I'm not really overweight or underweight. I'm like kind of at a decent weight right now. It's my new favorite hobby. And honestly, my number one fear in my health right now is that I won't be able to climb forever. I have very serious goals. I go extremely hard on the wall. I always shoot for things that I don't think I can make, and on the off chance that I can, I push my body 100% when I climb. I really, really enjoy it, and I want to get a lot better. And I hate that I'm 28 now and I've only learned about it recently, but it's also kind of an expensive hobby. I probably couldn't afford to have gone climbing until a few years ago. Certainly not when I was in high school, which would have been optimal to start. So there's probably, you know, only so much I can be upset about, but it can be like $20-$25 a climb, depending on what kind of city you live in. And it's sometimes the gyms are a little bit out of the way. But if you do have the opportunity, I highly recommend it. And there's so much good content around it, and it's all conducive with a really good lifestyle where you'll be motivated to take on a good diet, which is not something I ever wanted to do. I don't really care about eating well. That's never been a problem for me. Not an active one. You know, I have great metabolism. Got very lucky in that regard. Maybe definitely a little bit too skinny. But apart from that, it's, you know, you're lucky to be skinnier than you are to not be skinnier in general. And I'm actually, for a while, I was like, I want to gain maybe 5 or 10 pounds because just to fill out more and just look a little bit stronger. But now that I'm climbing, I'm like, do I even want to gain weight? Because a huge thing about climbing is like, if you're heavier, then you're just carrying more weight up the wall. And so it's much easier to lose 5 pounds than it is to gain 5 pounds of strength. And like, you know, I climb with my friend who's maybe 20 pounds lighter than me. And I'm just thinking like, okay, what if he had 20 pounds on his back? Like, that's me. So it's more demanding for me to get to keep weight on or to gain more weight and then expect to get better at climbing. And that's kind of interesting too. But now I just want to have like good core strength so I can keep my body together when I climb. I want to have strong back. I want to have strong hands. I love just sitting there and just thinking about climbing or learning and reading more about it. And it's one of my favorite parts of my week at this point. I'm going climbing for 2 times a week now. Something you kind of can only do once a week when you first start. But once you get in the habit and rhythm of going, it's easier. Your hands will get less sore, your forearms will get less pumped, and you can go back and get on the wall and go again. And I was thinking about starting a kind of a climbing channel on the side, or just recording stuff for the future, just to keep a personal log of my climbing stuff. There's a lot of climbing channels that are actually doing really well right now. Magnus Mippo is one of the strongest guys just on the planet, honestly. He can do one finger pull-ups, one arm muscle-ups, which a muscle-up, in case you don't know, is grabbing a pull-up bar with one arm and then pulling yourself up and over and then pushing the bar down to go and locking your arm out so you're just straight up over the bar. A pull-up bar with one arm. You know, not many people can do that on the planet. That's pretty insane. And that's like that climber strength. That's what you get. And still not many climbers can do that, but that's kind of one of the best ways to get that strong. And the best part about him is that he doesn't even do strength training outside of climbing, which is what has honestly blown my mind. It's almost the most. And then there's obviously Alex Honnold and Free Solo. If you don't know about those two things, I'm not going to rant about them. Just go watch Free Solo. But climbing's been fantastic. I love that I have this in my life. The other cool thing is that I travel a lot, and I realize that this might be a topic that not a lot of people can relate to, I guess. I would say that if you're younger and you're single and stuff like that, try to travel as much as possible. And I'm going to go ahead and say now, like, why I think that, but just, you know, travel while you can. I think travel while you can. It's not as life-changing as people like to make it out to be. I think it's life-changing if you're the kind of person that is receptive enough and reflective enough to see something and then really think about it. But if you're that kind of person, your life is going to change all the time, whether or not you travel. Traveling just offers you up more stimuli, different types of people, and pushes your mind into thinking about things differently, because you're going to be constantly exposed to new things and a new culture with new food and new language and stuff like that. And so it's something that pushes you that way. But there's plenty of people who climb that never change. There's plenty of people that travel that never change mentally, stay just as boring or lame, and don't think outside the box. But that's not something that traveling gives you. That's something that you can get from traveling, and that's important to remember. But if you get the opportunity and you're like that, I would definitely get on it. But now that I've traveled a fair bit, I think one of the, you know, the saying is the best way to get to know a new place is to eat the food. And I would say that's 100% true in my experience. One of the only things that I remember, or the most standout memories from me as, you know, in the memoirs of a person with terrible memory, are the concerts I've been to. Recommend going to a lot of concerts, seeing your favorite music artists if you like music. And then also the food experiences that I've had. They're the things that I talk about the most. When I meet someone new, I always talk about the concerts I've gone to, or the food that I've eaten, or where I've been, so traveling as well. And then, you know, when all those things coalesce, so if I go somewhere and eat something, or go somewhere and see a band, that's like a really cool experience. It's very unique, and also very relatable, just maybe not the traveling part. So I'm trying to get the most out of traveling that I can. And bouldering is a way that I've found is an interesting way to do that. Climbing is something that happens all over the world. Again, it's a very primal, a very human experience that is shared by everybody. Wherever there's a fucking wall or a mountain or a building, somebody's climbed it. And what's cool about that is, like, there's all these different types of climbing. There's all these different cultures of climbing. There's all these different gyms all over the world. And now I've gone climbing. I tried to go in Sweden, but there was no gym. I did go climbing in Katowice. I did go climbing in Portugal. I went climbing in Dallas as well as Austin. I've been climbing in California. I've been climbing in Toronto. And that's sick. So now that I have food, I don't only rely on that. I go look for a bouldering gym. I went climbing with Jason Kaplan in Katowice. I went climbing with Semler in Lisbon, Portugal. And, you know, that's now something that if I ever see Semler, we can do together. And I love that now. I have memories climbing and eating the food. And I feel like that's enriched my experience going to different gyms around the world. And I just can't wait until I'm a very competent climber and I can, you know, I'm actually good enough that like I can do different things that are only available to me when I get that good. Whether it's like setting routes or thinking differently about routes or getting a different experience, watching high level climbing videos or learning from people who are better or whatever, or having those conversations, you know, meeting other climbers. And yeah, I'm almost like I just want a climbing girlfriend. That would be like my favorite thing to have in common with a girl, I think, at this point. I actually heard something interesting about this where, I don't know if you know Kitty Plays Games. She's actually a pretty amazing person. She's basically just like a streamer. And on Twitch, when she streams CSGO, it just seemed like you know, an average streamer or something. But honestly, like, she gets so much stuff done. If you watch her vlogs, I don't even know how she lives such a crazy life. She had a cool clip on Twitter that was that she had pinned where she had given good advice. And also, I just want to say, like, I only brought up that the point about her stream and how it seemed average just because it just contrasted that, like, how much more there is to her. Because I think that's, like, maybe a sentiment other people have had watching her. You'd be astonished. So she did a clip that said, I'm not sure where she got it, if she came up with herself or whatever, but it was still really interesting to hear about being in relationships. And she said that you kind of want to try to figure out what you want in another person, whatever qualities you think your ideal person would be, whether that's funny, interesting, smart, hardworking, clean, organized, whatever the fuck it is, and then say how many of those qualities do you have of those things, and then try to be that person so that you can find that person. And I thought that was really interesting because if you go and look for a relationship, like, I've always been like a guy's at extremely high standards, but I think when it comes to a girl who I think impresses me a lot, I'm probably not going to be able to kind of impress them back, or I might be so wrapped up in the thought that, damn, this is like such an opportunity, like, she's so hot, she's so cool, that she's so this and that I can't like chill, be myself. And that's maybe because I don't have the qualities in myself that I think I'm looking for in others. And that's also been something I've been trying to align myself more with by being more productive, being kind of more intelligent whenever I can, taking on new hobbies, trying to be more interesting so that I would, you know, you want to be somebody that you would date, I guess. And I've always been content, but I guess because my expectations for other people have always been really high, I can't just be content and date someone who's also content, not actually attract to people who are just content. And that cognitive dissonance is something that I'm kind of trying to use as fuel. But I thought that was something that really interesting that I've been thinking about recently. Be the person you want to date. I think that's really good advice. I also touched on running and being self-reflective and putting in effort every day. I've always tried to figure out, is there a universal thing that we're all entitled to that can allow us to lead the best life possible? Is there a thing? But then you think there's all kinds of terrible things that happen in the world. You know, kids die at 4 years old of having bone cancer. That's not fair. That's not their fault. There's nothing anyone could have done about that. People are born with deformities, disabilities, and debilitating things. People are born in a poverty. We'll never be able to get out of those circumstances. Life isn't fair. Anyone who says otherwise is a naive moron, and that's important to consider. But for the people who are fortunate enough to have better to have more fortunate upbringing or just more opportunities or whatever it is, how can you lead the best life possible? Something I'm thinking about a lot. And I think right now my universal quality for as many people as that can rope in, or that I can cast that net over, is just, if you know, you've got your arms and your legs, you've got a working mind, and you have some opportunity, if only very little, that in every life you try to cross that threshold of effort that you're used to every moment that you remember, that I think you can live the best life. That's kind of my philosophy right now. That's my kind of slogan at the moment. And again, all these things I like to say, they're tentative, you know, they're in beta, they might change, I might move on to other thoughts, but I try to have a top of the totem philosophy where everything, all of my other thoughts trickle down from that, and to see how long that holds up. And I feel like that's something that is at the forefront of my mind at the moment, something that I hope is true, that, you know, the more effort you put into life, the more you push yourself, the more you get out of life in return, even though life is unfair and harder for some, more hard for some than it is for others. And I could say I think it is working well for me at the moment. I feel pretty good about things. Now, I'm also I talked about my mom getting older. I kind of talked about like what I need to talk about with that, but my mom had me late. She had me late because she was the firstborn of like 7 siblings, and because of that she had to learn how to cook and clean and take care of all of her sisters as they grew up. And so she was the last one to be allowed to get married. And that's just kind of how it was in the family. And because of that, she actually ran away from home, married her pen pal, which is my dad, moved to Canada, and had me. And I like to think that I've taken on some of those crazy qualities in some regard, with how much I enjoy traveling or just being like spontaneous or crazy. But, you know, because of all that, she moved out late. And she, you know, she had me late. And so I think my mom's just a little bit older than most other people's moms. Not like Larry King, you know, or something like that, but, you know, just a little bit older. And she could retire, I guess, and she would make okay money. But it's, you know, it's probably fortunate that she's still working and we're both saving, and she's trying to just still like make sure she's busy all day, and she's in great health. I just don't know how long, you know. I mean, when I get to that old, I can't imagine I'll be half the person that my mom is in terms of health. She takes extremely good care of herself. She's always going for like half sugar, half fat foods, eats lots of vegetables, barely any meat, is working hard all day long, trying to take on new jobs all the time. But ultimately, you know, you're working against the clock, right? We're all gone at some point, and we all are on a downward trend past 30 something, you know. I always try to say also that Mayweather beat the fuck out of Conor McGregor at 42. So we've got a long time before we can say we've just peaked for no reason. We can all get a lot more out of our physical life, mental life, everything, and achieve a lot before, you know, even while we're considered old to a lot of people. But still, you know, it's 60 something. You're getting there, and things will start happening. Parts of your body will start failing, everything like that. And I don't know when something major might happen, and I always want to be aware of that, mindful of that, whether when it comes to the way I talk to her, treat her, or the way I think about spending time with her, or just how much money I'm making to my career, and how much that might affect her in the future, and how fucking dumb I would feel if I didn't think about those things and something bad happened. And, you know, God forbid, but eventually something will, you know. So that's also something that I'm trying to think about. And I think that also is just good to think about life as something that is more than just you. Everyone who says that they don't care about what other people think might in some regards, but anybody who truly believes that, which I don't believe there is anybody, is an absolute imbecile, total narcissist, and a complete asshole, because there's no reason to get anything done if not for other people. People you care about, people you want to impress, for the sake of getting into positions where you can be better off. For all these reasons, people aren't just important, they're imperative. And you being alone on this planet wouldn't, you know, what the fuck is the point of that? And so building off of that, you know, the people who are closest to us, or mom, or friends, or family, people I try to think about very heavily and think about how important they are. And think about the thought that right now everything's good and we're happy, but that doesn't mean you can't sleep on the effort you put into those relationships, maintaining them, creating new ones, or strengthening old ones, whatever it is, for your sake, you know, for your sake too, even from a selfish way. Who cares? Selfish has negative connotations. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just talked about that way. If you being selfish means that you strengthen your relationship with the people you care about and make them happier, who the fuck cares? You know, who can judge you for that? It's like, It's interesting how some people talk about things in general, and then just how they how we end up thinking about them because they're, you know, talked about a certain way as conventional wisdom or whatever. Yeah. So that's why it's important definitely to evaluate kind of everything you think about, whether it is conventional wisdom or common sense, or just to remember you've got your own mind. Once you're smart, you process things yourself, and you don't just take what people say as gospel, no matter what it is. Apart from science, you know, science is important. Stuff that you're not going to figure out, you've got to trust peer-reviewed journals and stuff like that. Global warming's happening. All right, guys. I don't know how many people listen to the podcast that don't think global warming is happening, but basically that's the point of this whole podcast. But yeah, that's also made me think about kind of what my income is going to be like. So a couple years ago, I was in Yahoo and I got a fat severance package from Yahoo. And even though I couldn't travel as much, I got enough money to keep me afloat and got to cast events in the US while I couldn't leave. I did drop a lot of money on the EB1 application, like $6,000 or something like that, and had probably spent like $30,000 US on rent because it's not cheap living in California, and then a few other things. And suffice to say, I didn't save much. I had to also move, which costed a lot. Moving back here probably costed another $10,000-$15,000, whether it was throwing out old shit in my old apartment or just having to, you know, buy new suitcases, buy new furniture, find a place, pay rent in somewhere else, pay for the plane ticket, all these different things. Ended up costing a lot of money. And I did save some, but not a whole bunch. And this year, you know, casting is probably going to be very important. And I'm doing good. You know, I've spent like a lot less money on rent here, for sure. I'm not trying to garner sympathy for like the amount of money I spent moving. I'm definitely doing fine, but these next few years are gonna be very important. Nobody knows what's gonna happen with every game as the years roll on. You know, with the whole battle royale genres, Fortnite, Apex, PUBG, like all these games are like trashing the other ones, and there's a bunch of players that move into these games like, oh, I'm gonna jump on this game because this is the new wave, and then that wave dies out quickly, and they're like, oh, fuck, I committed myself to this. And I'm sitting here in Counter-Strike, once again, feeling good. You know, got lots of work, like right outside of Tier 1 in terms of casting. I'm at events with these Tier 1 casters. I feel like I'm included in some of the conversations for bigger events, which is great. Events pop up all the time for me. I'm fortunate enough to have a good relationship with Blast and have done every single Blast for the first Copenhagen event, which I'm probably even fortunate to have missed that, no offense. And yet, like, you know, I don't know, like, I don't think I'm going to be doing as many DreamHack Opens this year, just because Mark is now only working on DreamHack Masters. But, you know, DreamHack Opens were a bigger, like, an event, a very consistent amount of work for us that we really enjoyed doing. But now there's someone else running it, and, you know, it's kind of up to them if they want to include other casters in that. And normally we would just be like, Mark would just be like, hey, which events do you want to do? And we'd get them all. But now it's not quite like that. And so we know what kind of events, some of the events we're going to have lined up, but I want to make sure we're progressing every month. And, the next 6 months is kind of, who knows? I know what the next 3 months looks like, but I don't even know like what the next year looks like. I don't know if we'll get to cast a major. That's the number one goal in my life right now. I have nothing else that I'm focusing on more, that I care about more than casting a CSGO major. Whether that'll happen is kind of, I will do as much as I can to make sure that can happen. But ultimately, some circumstances will have to align that may be not in my control. I don't know, but that's my goal. That's what I want. That's my goal. And that's what I'm dedicating all my time and effort and thinking to getting to become a better commentator and to be able to cast a major. You know, that's just kind of it. That's kind of why what happened. As soon as I moved back in September, I was like, this is it. This is my goal. I'm aligning myself this way and centering my whole life around that. Because if you don't, you spend your life with one foot on the door, one foot out, you probably get nothing. you might as well try really hard to focus on one thing, make it a big goal, make it something that you didn't think was possible, and then just give it your all to try to achieve it. And the interesting part is seeing about all of the other things that come along with it that make your life better. Just the discipline, the focus, concentration, the energy, the will to like get up and do things, like all these things kind of come with it. And that's also really, really amazing. But ultimately, like, a goal kind of just looms over me like a dark cloud. No, I want, that's what I really want. And I don't know when that'll come, if it ever comes. But, you know, I'm not going to pussyfoot around it. This is what I want to align myself with and achieve that goal at some point. Even this fucking podcast, man, it's practice. Talking, being able to try to be more interesting, get used to talking for long periods of time, keeping the energy up, working on the voice and the intonation and the pronunciations of things and all that stuff, man. It just all ties back into the same goal. And yeah, that's where I'm at with that. Now, finally, I'm making a single-player game review. Nathan is editing it right now. I don't know if he is right now, but that's something that we're working on that is a new interesting thing that it just popped into my mind that I wanted to try, and that has been kind of interesting. So we used to make CS analytical videos. Those were great, but it got kind of boring to make those. It also seemed like there was less interest with how long CSGO had been out and the Reddit kind of slowing down for how many upvotes people were willing to give to analytical content, which I never try to get salty about that stuff, but that's just the lay of the land and how things ended up. There's less interest in that stuff. And, you know, like, you can't get mad at someone for not upvoting someone or something, right? Like, that's like, it's kind of like when guys complain about, like, quote unquote titty streamers. It's like, you think those viewers are going to go to your stream just because titty streamer's not there? That's what they want to watch, you know? So, I don't get mad at people for being successful, for having an audience or whatever it is. Sometimes if, you know, their tactics are like against the rules or whatever, or they do underhanded things or illegal things, obviously, yeah, but otherwise don't get salty about, never get salty. Live in a meritocracy in your mind, you know? To try to figure out how they did it and how you can incorporate the best things about what they did and exclude the things that you don't want to have reflect on you badly, and then try to become the best person that way to achieve what you want. If it's your goal to become big and famous or whatever, to have a big audience or a big stream, just that's the way I look at it. Look at everyone who's successful, take the qualities you want, leave the qualities you don't want, and then try to achieve that. But yeah, sorry, I just kind of ranted about that for a second. But with the single player game review, one thing that's kind of definitely died off is my YouTube channel. Our YouTube channels, Nathan's kind of edited pretty basically everything good that we've ever made. And we were kind of sitting around, I just opened up my YouTube channel, 77,636 subscribers. Which the number went down, I think, from 80,000 as we uploaded the last few videos. That's because YouTube algorithm has just been fucking face fucking us for the past year or something. I've just, you know, been very demotivated to even try to upload at all. But doing single player game reviews is something I thought would be interesting, new, fresh content that we can do. Something that's not going to be boring for me and Nathan to do, even though we were good at CSGO analytical content and some of the two of the things that I'm most proud of that we've ever done, that I've ever done. I don't know, but I can't speak for Nathan, but were the swag video and the Stewie video. I actually am still super proud of those videos. You know, we made the front page of our all with the swag video, I think. Something insane, like 9,000 upvotes or, yeah, just crazy. And those are awesome. But we're moving past that. Kind of boring for Nathan to keep editing CS videos and get CS smooths and the same 7 maps and the same players and the same plays and all this stuff. So now we want to try to move on to, I was like, you know what, why don't we try single player game reviews? And I'm doing a review on Ashen, which is a Souls-like game that was out on, that's out as an exclusive on Epic's launcher that will be available on Steam at some point. And it's a really beautiful game from A44, who it's their first game. They've got some heavy hitters on their team, but our guest technically still an indie studio, and I really, you know, did a good job with the game. And I wanted to do a review slash critique on the game as somebody who knows and really loves. I can safely say I definitely love Dark Souls and Souls-like games. And, you know, Dark Souls is a game for me that was the only thing after playing Counter-Strike or multiplayer games that are very difficult that you put thousands of hours into that could get my attention and hold it. You know, probably 120 hours in Dark Souls 3, which is not that much compared to a lot of other people. But I can say that I don't think anyone watches more Dark Souls streams than me. Like, I clock in hours every day keeping tabs on different, like, challenge runs that are being done, speed runs. You know, I love the streamers in the game and watching the game. I can't get enough, honestly, even 3 years later. So, love Dark Souls and games that are like Dark Souls, basically. Games that are difficult, that have great level design, that are beautiful, that are dense and fulfilling to beat and make you feel accomplished and have great stories behind all the different stuff that's going on. There's a lot of mystery involved and it's challenging. I love it. It knocks out of the park in every category for me for a single player game. It's something I'm grateful to have in my life. And now I just do nothing but fiend more games like Dark Souls. And I'm making this game, this review on Ashen for that reason. I have a lot of context for it. I feel confident for once now that I've played like a pretty good amount of single player games to say I have perspective and I won't miss a kind of perspective on what make the game bad or good. I feel like I have an informed opinion and I've watched enough. I've seen other people's opinions enough as well. And I feel like my skills and analysis as a CS person will transfer over into kind of being a game critic. I don't know what those are worth or if other people don't really have those. I just know that I feel confident about it. I know that when I play a game, I always want to talk about or review the game to people as they ask me about it. Something I love doing is sharing something I love. And so for all those reasons, I feel like it's kind of been my trajectory to make reviews about stuff, you know. As much as I hate fucking like IGN or GameSpot or like all these other reviewers, not necessarily the website or everybody works there, but just like some of their reviews and stuff, you know. I like the YouTubers. I will scroll down and not even click on an IGN video and scroll past it and click on like the guy who has 14 views for a review. Because I trust it more, like straight up. I don't even say that, but then I actually secretly go and watch IGN. Like, I just do not trust them at all. And I want to be part of that YouTube community of good reviewers that makes substantive, in-depth analyses on games that they take their time on, that they don't have personal, professional bias on, that they and that they do for themselves first and foremost. And I want to be a part of that. And I think that's interesting. I think it's something I'll be good at. I think it'll be fun for Nathan and myself. And I think they're pretty evergreen. Like, we always try to make our videos, like, you know, a great game review. I think it's interesting because I watch game reviews of games that have played a long time ago, just because it's so nice to hear about somebody either praise or critique a game that you already know and love. I think that's interesting. So whether it's for somebody who wants to figure out if they want to buy it or somebody who really enjoyed the game and would love a second perspective on it or another person's thoughts that had a good time playing it or a bad time playing it, I think reviews satisfy those people. And I feel like that's great that I can maybe contribute to that as well. I think there's potential for that to grow the channel. I don't think it'll anger too many people. I think, you know, it's gaming at the end of the day. It's not exactly esports, but some of the, you know, CS analytical type videos are very esoteric. And that getting away from that might not be a terrible thing. And I think there is overlap between that audience, that is a very specific audience, and just gaming in general. So I'm looking to do some of these, and I would like to do more of them. And again, use that as a way to practice my writing, which is also, I think, very interesting, an interesting thing to practice. And again, just become better at something else and take on something else I think is cool. Jump on that spark of motivation that I got as soon as I thought about maybe making a single player game review, jumping in with 2 feet, learning how to do it, challenging myself on paper, and then just figuring out that, you know, I'm going to do this, and, you know, went ahead and did, and I feel good about it. And I'm curious how it's going to turn out so we can get started on the next one. I'd love to see how it looks. And then, you know, what Nathan's take on it is visually and how that's going to either differ or be similar to the way I envisioned it. And see where we can go from there and grow from there. So over time, we've gotten pretty good synergistically at, you know, me writing and then having that, the vision of what it would look like, transfer over in the visuals when it's handed over to Nathan, who's like not sitting beside me and he was at home in another place. And you know, the process of growing will be interesting. And again, it's another thing that I think, all right, I try this now, I start this now, and a year from now, I'll be great at it. That's how I look at it. I don't know how great. I don't know if like as great as I think I'll be, but much better, much, much better basically than I am now. And I always think it could be a year from now. I look back and I think, if I look back and I think if I never started it, how far could I have gotten? Right. That's a stupid thing you never want to experience. If you've got the time to do it, you've got the motivation to do it. You just go ahead and jump on it and then just tell yourself, look, if I start now, I'll be amazing in a year. And on that note, I think that's it. I think we got a lot of thoughts. In a minute, an hour, 10 minutes. It's good talking to you guys. We'll do more single solo podcasts. I think this podcast might go up as a buffer when I'm traveling, maybe next week. And I think I'm still doing a podcast with Squeaks this weekend. And thanks to you guys for the feedback. I'm glad people are enjoying the podcast. I'd love to know how many people are watching it. And please just make sure to tell your friends. You know, I really, now I'm very confident about how good the podcasts have gotten. And I want more people involved and that can grow with us and give us feedback and stuff, because it's not fun unless we hear back from you guys. We've got no sponsors, store.boxer.gg. We've got a cool clothing collaboration coming out with a real artist very soon, who actually plays CS as well. So stoked to show you guys that. And that'll all be soon. Take care, everybody.